Welcome to episode 218 of the GTO on 5G. It's the latest inside scoop on everything 5G. We cover six topics in about 20 minutes, and it's brought to you by More Insights and Strategy. I'm Will Townsend, and joining me again this week is fellow analyst Anshul Sag. Let's get started with our Mobile World Congress Barcelona 2025 wrap-up. And before I get started, I'm just going to preface to our viewers and listeners. While I was in Barcelona towards the end of the week, I did come down with a little something, and so my voice quality isn't the best, but I am on lots of medication and feeling good, and this should be a very interesting podcast. So with that, let me start, Anshul, with my first topic, and I want to talk about AST Space Mobile. At the event, they announced a joint venture with Vodafone Group called Satco. And I actually had an opportunity to meet with Abel towards the end of the week. But at a very high level, what Satco is a joint venture that's designed to support the highly fragmented nature of mobile network operators in the United States. And what I mean by that, when you look at the U.S., we have three major carriers, right? For the most part, there's a fourth that's been trying to get in there. But when you look at Europe, you've got three to four MNOs per country. And even in small countries like Latvia, you've got three as well. And so this is an effort to more efficiently service just the vast number of MNOs in Europe. It aims to provide a turnkey solution supported by a fully managed networking stack and operations that address the need for digital sovereignty within the European Union. And again, I got to spend some time with Abel. I am going to be writing a Forbes article that includes some of that conversation that I can share that's not under non-disclosure. As well as some other insights from the event. But at a very high level, he and I talked about a number of different things. The applicability of what they are doing, support true broadband and not just text messaging. That's evidenced by the video call demonstrations that you and I have talked about that have occurred recently with Verizon and with AT&T in the U.S. But he and I also talked about a host of other use cases just beyond gap coverage, such as providing better, more highly performant service on aircraft, as well as supporting use cases like autonomous driving and that sort of thing, where you need decent latency profiles and decent throughput profiles to support all of that. So this is more than just edge network gap coverage. AST Space Mobile truly wants to be a broadband solution provider. I'll also mention, and I knew this, but as AST Space Mobile launches more of its satellites into space, the actual physical size of them are growing as well. And Abel showed me a picture of one of the antenna arrays. And let's just say it's significantly larger than what I saw when I was able to do that tour and be the first press analyst person allowed to tour their facility in Midland. And so I'm hoping to get back there. We talked about the possibility of my coming back in the April timeframe. But again, I'll be providing deeper insights and more details around the conversation I had with him. But it's super exciting. And I'll end on this note. I did mention to him what his thoughts were about the big Super Bowl ad that T-Mobile and Starlink did. The price tag on that was $8 million, quite significant. And honestly, his response was he was happy. It's free advertising. It's good for the industry. And it really demonstrates the power of low Earth orbit satellite and how it can augment terrestrial networks. But with all of that said, what are your thoughts, my friend?
I think that in general, the partnership with Vodafone is a big one, especially for the European market. Mm-hmm. I also think that there's more opportunities for competition with AST and SpaceX, Globalstar, and many others. And I just think that we're going to continue to see this grow. I do think we're still in an early phase of this market in terms of its capabilities still going to be very message-based, especially until bandwidth and the actual spectrum available increases, because these are pretty small slots of spectrum. So I think it'll be interesting to see how this progresses, especially with smartphones and devices adding capabilities for faster, more capable versions of satellite communications. So I think we're at the infancy of this technology, and I think there's an opportunity for it to move into the mainstream in a few years, especially with the right pieces in place. But yeah, no, this was a big one. And I think you mentioned that this made the stock pop quite a bit. Yeah. Stocks are also quite down today, but that's a different discussion. And yeah, I just think satellite is going to be, I'm going to continue to toot the horn that I think satellite will become a mandatory safety feature in all smartphones in the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, I agree. No, it's super exciting. I agree with you. Innovation is usually driven by competition. That's one of my famous catchphrases. And yeah, so for our viewers and listeners, stay tuned. I'll be sharing more insights in that Forbes wrap up, probably coming towards the latter part of this week, if not early next week. But with that, let's move to your first topic. And I caught some of this news as well, but Qualcomm and MediaTek both announced new 5G modems at MWC, and you want to talk a little bit more about
that? Yes. So Qualcomm introduced their new X85 modem, and MediaTek introduced their new M90. And basically, when Qualcomm is called the X85, it's no longer called the Snapdragon X85 because they've introduced a new product called Dragon Wing, which we talked about last week. Yep. And that's like a branding for a lot of their infrastructure stuff. But moving forward, modems, GPUs, and other cross-business unit technologies will drop Snapdragon and not have Dragon Wing either, and instead have the Qualcomm branding on them. So this is a Qualcomm X85 modem. What's cool is that this ups the ante again. It is now a 12-gig modem, so it's capable of up to 12 gigabits per second of throughput. Actually, they say 12.5 specifically. MediaTek also ups the ante to 12. So both were 10 gig modems in the previous generation. Now they're 12 gig modems. And the X85 also adds the ability for 400 megahertz of bandwidth, which is a lot in the sub-6. And then it also allows for 3.7 gigabits per second with 4 carrier aggregation in the uplink. So that's a lot of uplink. And that's going to be really good for broadcast applications. They also added support for FRMCS, which is a European railway standard for 5G to ensure better 5G connectivity on a moving railway. And then they added more capabilities in the X85 for 5G TSN, which is time-sensitive networking, and 5G Ethernet, so both industrial applications for X85. They're also introducing the first DA, which is dual SIM, dual active, with 3 carrier plus 1 carrier. So they're able to aggregate those. And then they also talk more about their AI-powered data traffic engine, which to me looks very similar to what they're doing on the Wi-Fi side with AI, kind of using AI to control and improve the quality of the service, which inherently results in better performance and battery life. And then MediaTek also, with their M90, they focus very much on power, and they said that they were able to, I actually don't see in the release, but I went through the materials pretty deeply, but they're able to boost uplink performance by up to 20%. They're also able to improve power, and they also boost data throughput with 24% with their AI enhanced accelerator. I think this is also their second generation of their modem accelerated AI or AI accelerated modem. And then they also said that their new UltraSafe 4.0 reduces average power consumption by 18% compared to the last generation. So lots of power savings, lots of performance. They also made a quick series of achievements where they said that they were able to do 5G NR FR1 plus FR2 connectivity at 11.6 gigabit per second with Keysight. And they showed 6 carrier with getting 5.5 gigabits per second with just, I think it was just sub-6. And then they were also able to show 10 gigabits per second on a live network with Telstra and Ericsson. So M90 is really powerful. It is also millimeter wave. Right now, Qualcomm and MediaTek are the only ones in town with millimeter wave support on their modems. As we know, the Apple C1 does not support millimeter wave. And it's quite clear that MediaTek and Qualcomm are way far ahead of where Apple is. And it will be interesting to see how Apple follows Qualcomm and MediaTek in the modem business. I would expect that majority of these modems will be paired with the company's SoCs on mobile, but it'll be interesting to see where these modems end up outside of smartphones. And yeah, both these modems have NTN satellite connectivity capabilities, both for IoT and NR. So it'll be really interesting to see how devices will come out with this probably late this year. That's in the phase is like November, December is when we'll see these modems and devices. And that means it's mostly going to be a 26 story. That means in 2026, most flagship phones will have full NTN capability.
Yeah. It's impressive how Qualcomm continues to drive improved performance and lower power. And to your point, Apple is just getting started. It's taken them 5+ years to get where they're at today, testing the waters. We talked about that. It's interesting also to see Qualcomm really branding as well. I guess you're getting a delivery. Morty's excited. But no, it's all good stuff, my friend. I tell you what, we're just having a heck of a time this week with the podcast, but it's all good. Well, with that, I'm going to go to my second topic as Anshul answers the door. And I want to talk about AMD, Cisco, Nokia, and Reliance. Jaya launching the Open Telecom AI platform at Mobile World Congress 2025. So I had an opportunity actually to attend this briefing. It was a very closed door affair. There were only a few analysts that were invited. I was lucky enough to be included. And what I learned was that Matthew Ooman, who's the CEO of Reliance Jio, was really the person that drove this and brought AMD together, brought Cisco together and Nokia together to do this. And the desire on Reliance's part is to democratize the access to modern AI and do that through its effective, highly disaggregated networking infrastructure. And Anshul, you and I have talked about Reliance in the past. They are an innovator. They're able to build their 5G network from the ground up, greenfield, within 11 months. And from my perspective, I have little doubt that Reliance can be a catalyst to make this initiative successful, just given their modern approach to network deployment. And an amazing stat is that Reliance has nearly 500 million subscribers. And so the opportunity to leverage this and really drive it widely is pretty exciting. And there weren't a lot of details about applications and use cases, but suffice it to say, it's going to be very telecom focused. And so it'll be interesting to see how everything winds out over time. With that, I'm still waiting on Anshul. There he is. I was tap dancing.
It's way worse than you think. It's actually, they shut off the gas in our entire complex because somebody left one of the gas grills on, and they now have to go from every single apartment and check all of the gas stoves and then also reignite all of the water heaters. So it's way worse than you think. It's not a package. I wish it was. Well, no, I think it's really cool to see that all of these big titans in the industry are working together to launch something like the Open Telecom AI platform. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of the industry is just realizing that they need to work together to be successful and achieve the full potential of what the industry needs to do on AI. And I think there's lots of room for growth. Yeah. But I also think that we've had a lot of these different partnerships happen in the past on different topics. So it doesn't necessarily mean there will be success.
Yeah.
But I think when you look at who's involved, Reliance Jio is a huge player in the space.
Yeah.
And it's in their best interest to have something that's open and standardized. And I think that we will continue to move in that direction regardless of who's involved. And this only enables more companies to join the effort if they stay open.
Yeah, I agree. Very good insight there, my friend. Hey, let's go to your second topic, and hopefully the door doesn't ring again. Want to talk about Ericsson partnering with T-Mobile and Qualcomm for 5G XR trials.
Yeah, so this is something that kind of flew in under the radar for me, at least. This was an Ericsson announcement, and they were able to show on a commercial T-Mobile network, Ericsson was working with T-Mobile and Qualcomm using a 5G device like a smartphone tethered to AR glasses, and they're using HoloLight as the XR streaming service, and they're basically able to use network slicing, which included uplink configured grant, low latency, and L4S, as well as other advanced schedulers to enhance the streaming quality from the cloud into the glasses through the smartphone device that was tethered to the glasses. And I think just what it's cool is it's showing that T-Mobile's standalone 5G network is ready for this, but also that Qualcomm already has the capability and that T-Mobile's network is ready to go to do this. So it's sending a signal, I think, to the market that the groundwork is there and that even commercial companies like T-Mobile and HoloLite are partnering and making this possible. So it's not just Ericsson, Qualcomm, and T-Mobile in a lab, right? It's very different from doing it in a lab. Right. Personally, I want to see this in person. I live in San Diego where this is being tested. So I'm going to do my best to reach out to Qualcomm and get a chance to try this out for myself. But until then, it's just exciting to see T-Mobile, Ericsson, and Qualcomm working together to do something on a commercial network for future use cases.
Hey, let me ask you, because I didn't catch this news. The payload was so immense at the event. And by the way, it was a record attendee. It was, I think, over 109,000 folks attended MWC. But I'm assuming that these trials, were they focused on enterprise use cases, or were they consumer use cases, or both?
So they didn't say what kind of use cases they were trialing. It specifically said these were XR 5G trials for AI and AR, and the feasibility of using a slim form factor goggles, like really thin and light goggles, and testing the 5G infrastructure and the smartphones to enable low latency opportunities and applications through these super light glasses. Because right now, one of the biggest problems for thin and light AR glasses is, where does the compute come from? Does it come from your phone? Does it come from the edge? Does it come from the cloud? The reality is that, like, right now, there isn't enough edge compute in place to power those glasses. So you have to have some kind of compute, whether it's a puck or a smartphone, connecting to the 5G network and then pulling in more compute from the edge or from the cloud. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really what they're testing out, is like, how viable is this? How does this work? Because truthfully, we can't have super thin and light AR glasses without distributed compute in other places. Yeah. And getting that latency low enough where we can actually distribute the compute between the phone, between the glasses, and between the edge, and maybe even pull deeper into the cloud if necessary. So I think that's what this is really showing off, that this is feasible and this is viable. Because people want thin and light glasses. They don't want to wear helmets.
Yeah, because it got me thinking. I remember very early on, 2018, 2019, I think you and I were in the same meetings with Qualcomm, and they were showing us these sort of mixed reality use cases, like for first responders and firefighters and that sort of thing. So I think the other challenge too is, with thin and light, you've got a smaller battery as well, right? And some of these workloads and some of these applications can be, that are very compute intensive, can really draw the battery life. We were just talking about Qualcomm and how amazing their engineering team is with respect to power management and performance and that sort of thing. But there's the whole nature of, you know, physics as well.
Right? Yes. So
it all kind of factors together. But hey, let's hit my third and final topic. And I want to talk about security. And this is an area I think that the telecom industry continues to struggle with. And I'm not gonna fault what they have to deal with, given the vast number of devices that operate on their networks. It's just amazing. It creates a threat surface that's just unbelievably big, that's easily attacked by bad actors. And more improvements have been pumped into the industry to address this. There's a lot of focus on zero trust and least privilege access and that sort of thing. 5G new radio does improve encryption significantly over 4G LTE, but more is needed. And so I got to sit down with Palo Alto Networks while they were at Mobile World Congress. I actually was able to record a 6.5 media video. So we'll include the link to that for our viewers and listeners if you're interested in learning more. But what Palo Alto Networks announced was their Prisma SASE 5G solution. SASE is SD-WAN that is imbued with security features. And what I really like about the offering is that it provides, again, another layer level of security protection beyond just 5G new radio encryption. But it also, at the same time, provides a very innovative solution for service providers to monetize. And why I think this is different than other mobile network operators have offered SASE services for quite some time, but typically that's just been a white label. Versa has been really big in this. They work with mobile network operators. They can repackage their solution and resell it, but there's really nothing there that's necessarily tuned to 5G. So Palo Alto Networks has focused on 5G, the whole notion of mobility, and providing a platform that allows an enterprise to manage this over wired and wireless networks. And again, it presents a very unique monetization opportunity for mobile network operators as well. So I'll leave it at that. I go a little bit deeper with an executive in that 6.5 Media video. But at a high level, I think we're going to start hearing more and more about purpose-built security when it comes to mobile networks, and especially given the momentum that we're seeing behind industrial IoT and the need to secure not thousands of devices, but hundreds of thousands of devices at scale. I don't know if you caught that news, if you caught my video, but any thoughts there before we move to your third topic?
No, I definitely did not catch that. It's also been quite a busy week for me, even though I wasn't at MWC having to cover all of it.
Yeah.
A lot going on, but I will go back and watch the video to educate myself, and I hope our audience does as well. Yeah. But I'll move on to my last and final topic with MWC device wrap-up is the best way of putting it.
Yeah.
There were a lot of devices. One, I'm going to go fast. Xiaomi announced the Buds Pro 5, which actually utilize Wi-Fi for lossless audio. It uses this new technology from Qualcomm called X-Pan, which has actually been around for a while, but nobody's implemented it in earbuds. Basically, you could just like walk around your whole house and your earbuds will never disconnect from your phone. And then there was the Xiaomi concept phone, which is a Xiaomi 15. That has an attachable micro four-thirds lens that magnetizes to your phone and uses a fiber optic connection to your phone. So your phone thinks it's just another camera lens. It's not an accessory. Hmm. Then we had Realme do something similar with an interchangeable lens as well, with an even bigger sensor. Then we had the Lenovo ThinkBook Flip, which was it's a regular 14-inch laptop that then unfolds and it becomes an 18-inch. So there's a second screen hiding behind the main screen.
Oh, dude, I want to demo
that. What you want is the Roll, which is what they had at CES, where it rolls into a 16-inch. Yeah. And that's actually a commercial laptop coming out in June. Then there was this Arzen Flip, which is a trifold projector that fits in your pocket. It like literally folds into a nothing, like a puck that fits in your hand. Mm-hmm. And then there was a Lenovo Solar laptop. That one is the Solar PC concept. And I saw a video of it. Basically, it like charges about 3 watts. So you can basically like use a laptop, and when you close it, just leave it in the sun and it will charge back up. It's not really enough power to charge it like all day or to use it in that scenario, but like you can use it like sporadically. And like for me, as someone who doesn't use a laptop very often, unless they're traveling, just leave it out there and it will charge passively. And then there was Lenovo announced the new actual real product, ThinkPad X13. And then Infinix also has a solar powered phone. And then Realme, Nothing Phone 3A and 3A Pro were announced, which is like a more of a budget phone. Mm-hmm. And then there was Tecno Spark, who did the Slim, which is yet another ultra slim phone. That's going to be a very common trend this year. Then phones, Samsung's going to have one, Tecno's going to have one, Apple's going to have one. I think it's a silly thing because people put cases on their phones. And on top of that, you give up a lot of features in most of these scenarios. I don't really think it's a great idea, but I think it's a good engineering exercise to help build thinner foldables so that when the phones fold up, then you get a phone that's as thin as a regular phone, which is exactly what the Oppo Find N5 is, which was announced a few weeks ago. And then other than that, Lenovo also showed off a concept called Magic Bay, which has different capabilities, but there's one that allows you to attach an attachment in the back of the laptop, and it gives you two more displays on the sides. You get like a 3-display laptop. It's nothing necessarily new, but it's the first time an actual laptop OEM has introduced something like that, as opposed to some random third party that makes you plug in all these weird cables. And then Samsung had a ton of different foldable concepts. They had one that was like a dual fold concept where it folds at different parts of the phone, not in the middle, but like at the top and the bottom, which I don't think anybody needs. But then they also showed a handheld gaming device that folds in half, which I thought was cool. And yeah, that's my rapid fire from what I remember seeing. But yeah, there was a lot going on. Lots of thin phones, lots of camera mods. And yeah, I think I covered. Oh, there was also a briefcase that Samsung was showing off where you open the briefcase and you get a full-size screen that kind of opens on the top and bottom, and you can use it as like a portable display that just pops open.
Huh. Sounds like Sounds like CES, man. That's the sort of stuff that you typically see at CES, right? So they were holding this stuff back for
everybody. I would say a lot of these things probably should have been shown at CES, but probably didn't make the cut for January.
Yeah.
That has been the case for a lot of things, but I would say some of these mobile stuff, very much MWC, but some of these things are just prototypes. And I think they were maybe prototypes that didn't make the cut for CES.
Yeah. Cool, man. Hey, it's been another great podcast. I was having to mute a lot as I'm getting through this cold, but I'm glad we were able to get it done, and let's take it home.
Absolutely. We hope our viewers and listeners found this week's talk was interesting. We hope you, if you have any insights for a specific 5G topic for a future podcast, please reach out to us on social media. Will's at WillTimeTech and I'm at Anshul Sog. We hope you have a great rest of your week, and please tune in again, hopefully later this week. And don't forget to rate us and subscribe.